Welcome to our daily reading. We're in John chapter 5 this morning for Wednesday, April 1st. I'm going to start in John chapter 5, verse 19. John 5, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I received is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given to me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they who bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" I want to go back and give kind of a refresher from yesterday's reading. We had finished up after the healing at the water pool on the day of the Sabbath, and verse 16 said this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Verse 18, this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making him equal with God. So then verse 19, when we get into our reading for today, Jesus points out that the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. He's talking about unity between him and the Father, that they have the same purposes. Remember, it is God the Father's eternal plan that Jesus is fulfilling, and so they have the same purpose together. What he's saying here is that he, as the Son, doesn't have any separate interest or separate action or separate intent than the Father has. In John chapter 17 and verse 21, Jesus speaks of this unity. He says, speaking of his disciples first, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. So there's that idea of unity within the body, but that unity between Father and Son came first, and that's what he's speaking of here. So they're ready to kill him and persecute him because he puts himself on the same level with the Father. I read this and I think that Jesus is communicating too that no matter what your conceptions are of what God's plan is, what I'm doing, what Jesus is doing at this moment, he's saying we have that same purpose and this is what God intended all along. And I can understand some difficulty that they would have with this, to have someone who looks just like the rest of us. He's a man. He's walking around. He eats every day. He sleeps every day. He drinks every day. He has friendships. And for him to say, I and the Father are one, and put himself, you know, equal with the Father, that would be difficult to grasp with a man speaking in front of you. We have the benefit of looking all of it at one time, that we study the Bible and we see everything that Jesus did and we see the proofs of who he is. But maybe in the moment we would be a little bit more like the Jews, and that this would be very hard to grasp. So I just try to give a little credit there. Sometimes we're really hard on the Jews of the time and some of the things that they said and did. So verse 20, the Father loves the Son, shows him all that he himself is doing. Greater works than these will show him, so that you may marvel. Again, Jesus is just getting started. We're not very far into his ministry at all, and so there's going to be a lot more to come. And he gets into verse 21, raising the dead and give them life, so also the Son who gives life to him he will. We talked about this before in that Jesus, as the agent of creation, was also the agent of life itself, that all things consist by his power. So here we have, you know, the Father raises the dead and gives them life. That's already been established. That's been done under the Old Testament. There have been those that have been brought to life. And so now it says, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Here I think most likely Jesus is really talking about spiritual life, but we do see Jesus raise the dead as well. Verse 22, the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Why does he give judgment to the Son? Well, the Son is the Word, and the Word is by that which we will be judged. And verse 23, all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So if you won't accept the Son, who has come and is doing the will of the Father, then you're not accepting the Father at the same time. The two go hand in hand. You can't accept one and not accept the other. Verse 24, he makes again this statement, if you believe, then there is eternal life that is available. If you don't, then there's death. There's a judgment that is there. Verse 25, an hour is coming, is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Those who hear would be those that are alive. Again, I think he's talking about spiritual life. For as the Father has life in himself, so he's granted the Son also to have life in himself. Anything that is part of the Father's will is going to be able to be accomplished by the Son, and is being accomplished by the Son as he has come to do the will of the Father. Verse 27, authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Don't marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. He keeps going back to this idea of life-giving power, even for those that are dead. But here in verse 29, he says, they will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. That's the end of time. That's the end of everything, the final day of judgment. It's appointed for man once to die and then the judgment. That's what he's talking about right here, that Jesus will be part of that judgment scene. Verse 30, I can do nothing on my own. That unity with the Father means that he's sent by the Father, doing the will of the Father, and that the Father is working through him to accomplish that eternal plan. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It says, if I bear witness about myself, my testimony is not deemed true. This is back to truth is established by two or three witnesses. But notice what he establishes here. He's going to establish two witnesses beyond himself. It says, there's another who bears witness about me, bears witness that is true. He starts with John, but you know, John still has to have some witnessing done in order to prove what he's saying as well. So I'm excluding John when I'm talking about the two or three witnesses, though you could put him as the third witness. Verse 34, the testimony that I receive is not from man, but I say that these things so that you might be saved. John the Baptist, he was a burning and shining lamp. You were willing to rejoice for a while in his sight. He was popular for a while. They even came out to hear of him, even those that were part of the Pharisees, the scribes, those that were in ruling places. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John's. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I'm doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. So here's proof of who he is and the role that he's fulfilling because of the power of God that is behind him, the works that he is doing. The Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you've never seen. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. So these works that he's doing, again, going back to Nicodemus, when he made that statement, we know that these things can't be done unless you are sent of God. So those works are part of the witness of him. So the Father is witnessing by that power. He says, you don't really know him. You don't really know these things because you don't believe the one whom he has sent, and you do not have his word abiding in you. Verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Well, the scriptures do have an incredible value. They are the revealed word of God. They are God-breathed. But he says here, here's the other witnesses, they that bear witness about me. The scriptures would bear witness about Jesus. Understand that if you read the scriptures through a slanted view, in other words, you just want to prove yourself right or you want to prove a particular view right, you're not going to find the truth. Satan is going to help you twist the truth to your own demise. So you need to consider how you approach the scriptures. Do I want to know exactly what God has told me, or do I just want to be, do I just want to feel good about what I already believe or what I already think? And so it is those scriptures that are bear witness about Jesus. So you have the works of the Father through Jesus. You have the scriptures that bear witness about him. And verse 40, yet in spite of all of this witness, the two or three witnesses establishing truth, you refuse to come to me that you may have life. So even though there's all this proof, they still don't accept. And that's what Jesus is really condemning them for. He's condemning them for the fact that they won't accept despite the proof that is in front of them. Verse 41, I don't receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If they truly had the love of God within them, then they would receive anything God sent, and they would be open to the truth of God sending Jesus. He says, if another person comes in his own name, you'll receive him. In other words, if someone comes seeking their own glory, then you would receive them. But somebody comes truly for the glory of God and for the will of God, then you don't receive him. Verse 44, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? We can walk around and pat each other on the back and tell each other that we're just fine. But there's no value in that. There's nothing that's going to benefit us because we pat each other on the back. It is not the approval of men that will bring eternal life. It is the approval of God. So what good is that glory from one another if we don't seek the glory that comes from God? Now, we should be able to commend each other. When we see each other walking in the light, we should give that commendation and say, good job, I'm proud of you, you're doing the right things, keep it up, encourage one another. But he's saying, if you receive glory from one another, but you don't receive glory from God, then what value is that? It's nothing. It doesn't have any value at all. And then he points out that Moses would be an accuser for them. In other words, Moses wrote about Jesus, and you say that you accept Moses, and you say that you accept the writings of Moses, you venerate them to the highest level, but you don't accept Jesus, so that will stand as your accuser. Moses' own writings will be an accuser against them. For if you believe Moses, verse 46, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So these are some pretty big accusations Jesus makes against them. And John does not record the reaction. When you get into chapter 6, it just says, after this, Jesus went away. So we don't have the reaction, but I think we know enough about the Jews to realize that they wouldn't have liked these words. They would have been upset. So think about how people in power are. Think about how they like to be looked up to and they don't like to be questioned. People in power want people to pay homage to them, respect them, and accept anything that they say. And I think that applies to the Jews who were in power at this time. In their minds, they are the ones that are the religious authority. And if Jesus truly was sent of God, then he ought to recognize and respect that authority rather than speak against it. I think that's what they were thinking in their minds or what they were expecting. So Jesus, throughout all of these words, talking about his authority as the Son, the unity between him and the Father, the witness of the works of the Father, and the witness of the Scriptures to him, Jesus is basically getting to the point that, hey, you don't have any excuse to not believe. And it's not about you, it's about God the Father. So these are very important things that Jesus needed to teach and important things for us to consider during our daily reading today. Realize that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, and that it is by his word that we are judged, and it is by his word that if we truly want to walk in the light, that we must walk, we must follow. So I hope that this benefits you for some thoughts for today. It's a lot to chew on. I realize this was a pretty good chunk of scripture, but I wanted to try to keep all of this particular thought together as we consider it. So if you have any questions, if there's something I wasn't clear about on today's reading or any of these readings, please reach out to me. I'll be happy to try to the best of my ability to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you again for your encouragement and your prayers during this time. Continue to pray for one another and pray that God may be with us all. Thank you very much for listening.